Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Now, let me ask you this. When Joey came back to the room, was Darius Rucker with him singing, "I only want to be with you"?
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, hey.
Brap.
Well, there you go. We got one in the wild. That's a good cold open.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Brap.
I actually had a couple of more nominees for my sayings. We can keep this for the podcast if you want. A couple of things occurred to me that maybe should make the catchphrase list.
What catchphrase list are we talking about? I'm sorry.
I have a list of all my catchphrases, you know, that kind of thing. And
oh,
you never know. And, you know, that kind of bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Give them to me. Okay. What are they?
Yeah.
What are they?
You want them now?
Yeah.
Okay. One of them is quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Yep.
Okay. That qualifies?
Is this going to be in the book? Is this what you're doing?
Yeah, this will, you know, we'll do something with it. T-shirts, books, quite a bit. And the other one was, I'm the kind of guy that.
Yeah, you like that one. You always brag that that's a thing you do, but.
I love that.
But you don't do it that much.
I know I don't. I got to start.
I'm the kind of guy that says I'm going to start doing stuff and then doesn't do it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And it should be, grammatically, it should be, I'm the kind of guy who. But I think it's funnier as I'm the kind of guy that, which is also an homage to Alan Cherry, the inventor.
Language is annoying.
Why?
It's like, I just hate that I always have to like check myself and like, I spend so much time just making sure shit is spelled right.
I know.
And making sure I'm using this in the right, and it's just like, it's annoying.
Yeah.
It's just, I wish I just didn't have to feel like, I wish people weren't like so quick to like hound mistakes. You know, like it's, I'm like terrified out here.
Yeah, I feel you.
And how often are you doing that? You're a professional writer. I love how I'm complaining about that.
No, I do it a lot.
How often are you Googling how to spell something?
I Google meanings. I Google spelling. I'm constantly learning about grammar. But one of the arguments I have with my boss all the time is I think language and grammar are flexible and fluid. I don't think they're finite. I don't think they're non-changeable. I think that there should be, like if I say, here's an example. I'm quoting a guy who says, you know what? We just got to get better. Okay. He is saying G-O-T-T-A. He's not saying we got to get better. He's saying we got to get better. And so if I try to quote him exactly, or if I, by me, use the phrase gotta, I always get blowback. Like it's got to, you know, we can't write slang. And I'm like, why not? Why can't we?
I'm with you.
Juju got to.
My dad just sneezed all over your joke, Yeti.
Oh, I know.
What happened? What did he say?
We're cooking, by the way, Yeti. I don't know if you've been listening. We're rolling.
Cooking it.
Like we're already a couple minutes in. My dad, we got some good stuff so far. I'm feeling good about it.
Oh, I've heard he's the kind of guy that. And
he brapped.
He's got a book. He's working on a coffee table book.
Yeah, we caught a brap in the wild. It's been an episode so far.
I heard the brap in the wild while I was in the middle of urinating.
Speaking of books, can I reveal something that hasn't been made public yet about another book I'm doing besides the one with McGill?
Wow.
Or should I not?
I mean, I haven't even talked to you about it, so I'm feeling like as your, you know, representative out here who makes sure you don't do stupid things, okay, I'm nervous knowing that I'm learning of this with the audience right now, but go ahead.
If we shouldn't say this, we can edit it out, but, and this is not a serious book like the McGill book, but I have gotten the okay to do a book serializing my back in my day rants. Right.
I knew that that was something you wanted to do, and I knew that that's what you were going to just say. I just didn't know that you had gone ahead and signed a deal, because, like, you know.
Well, I haven't signed a deal yet.
The way you negotiated this podcast, I really think you should be having other people look at these things.
That's a good point.
Yeah, for real, Greg.
But I think it's going to be more than just back in my day. I think it's going to be maybe incorporating some soup recipes or, you know, all this kind of bullshit. So
I've had a title thinking about this book for a long time that the subtitle should be, because you said this in one back in my day years ago. You just, like, were on it, and you said, you know, because people won't leave well enough alone. And I was like, that's the subtitle to the book right there.
That is good.
It's not bad.
It's definitely somewhere on the book.
That's not bad. That's right. Before we get started.
So are we leaving all that in? Are you good revealing that?
I don't care.
Okay.
What do I care? Somebody's going to steal my idea. You know, somebody's going to do my back in my days. I mean,
Lou Rafter will steal it. He's already made a Stugatz personal record book.
Yeah.
What? Yes. Oh my God. Okay. Maybe we shouldn't have that then. Oh my Lord. Are you serious?
No, it's fine. As long as you're going to do it soon, I think it's fine.
All right. We'll do it soon.
All right, we'll do it soon.
I always say that before we start the episode, even though we've already started the episode, but I love a callback. Hang on just a second.
What are you doing? Are you doing another blowfish? God, that was annoying last week.
That was funny. I love that. I love callbacks, so I have two quick ones.
What did you just grab? I really want to know what you just grabbed.
I turned on my light because it's dark here.
Oh.
Okay, my first callback. Last week's episode, when we're discussing Jokic and how great he is and why he's great or why he's boring, Yeti said something that, had I heard it live, I would have gotten into a raging argument with him.
You did hear it live.
Yeti said more than once the phrase, talking to me, what you're trying to say is.
Oh, I owned it too. I said, I might be Greg-splaining here.
Yes, you did even. You even said that. And
yeah.
And that's why I always listen to the episodes again.
Why don't you try listening in the moment, though, too, a little better? Like, we could probably work on it some, like...
I know, I should.
It would have been great for... We haven't had an awkward moment in a long time, ever since I trampled all over you having a heartfelt thing about your dad.
No, that's... Okay, that's a pet... Don't tell me what I'm trying to say when I've just said it.
You're correct.
I will speak for myself, thank you. And so I want to get that off my chest.
You're correct, and I'm sorry. I understand that what you're trying to tell me now, what you're trying to say, is that I shouldn't do that again.
Exactly. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. That's what I am saying.
I actually, but I think Yeti was right there to try to, like we were all doing, like, all you were saying was boring to watch, and we were just like, oh, is this what you mean? Because, like, he's not boring. Like, what, like, you know what I mean? He's not a great with the media. Like, Yeti was trying to just, like, I think this is where you're headed kind of thing. I thought it was fine.
Okay. I don't need anyone to speak for me. I speak for myself professionally. I speak for myself in my writing.
I don't need any interpretation.
Yeah. I don't need any interpretation on what I'm trying to say. But the other point, second callback, this involves you, Christopher. I asked you last week, you were headed to Vegas. And I want to talk about that because, man, you picked a bad game to go to. And I said, bring me back a pearl. And you didn't know what I meant. You thought, bring me back a gift, buy me some jewelry. I meant a pearl of information. So I want you to tell me a little bit about your Vegas trip that you haven't told anyone yet.
I actually have a good one. I totally blew it because of the Levitard show. And it's funny because I did a hit the day after the game. And
of acid?
Thank you. No.
Hey, Grayson.
The morning after the game, I had to do the hit the next morning on the Levitard show at 6 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Our time. Like, okay. 9 a.m. for Levitard show, 6 a.m. our time.
Awful.
So the night after the game, I'm having a great time. We, like, were apart, like, all these, like, Vegas fans are going nuts after the game. I end up meeting up with people, and we met up with, like, this comedian who is hooked up in Vegas, and he was going to take us places. And I was thinking, all right, am I about to embark on a crazy night and do that hit on no sleep? Or should I be responsible and go back? So as my daughter just walks behind me loudly and, like, slams doors. I don't know if you guys can hear this, but
I saw her.
Hi, Gracelyn.
Hey, Gracelyn.
Hi, Gracelyn. It warms my heart every time. I want her to be a co-host on the show full time.
So at one point,
I'll give her a happy meal a week as payment.
So at one point, the night seemed like it had a lull. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be responsible. I'm going back. Parenthetically, I ended up still oversleeping by about 15 minutes for the hit. So I should have just gone out if I was going to oversleep anyways. I missed an epic night. My friend Joey and two other guys that we were linked up with in Vegas, I screwed up. They had like an epic night. They met a bunch of celebrities. I feel weird. What? I don't know if I should be saying. Actually, they posted these pictures on social media. Darius Rucker, a bunch of professional poker players. Then they ended up going to the nightclub where the Stanley Cup was. I posted a picture on social media as if I was at that club. That was just a video of my friends. Like, I was not actually there.
Wow.
I blew it. I mean, I didn't. I was responsible, but like it turned in. Like my friend Joey was staying in my room. Like barges in at 5 a.m. and it's just like it was epic. I was right next to the cup. I was being heckled by a Knights player for wearing the shirt. Like I talked to Darius Rucker for 20 minutes about the Dolphins. Like I fist bumped Phil Ivey, and it was just like I actually fist bumped Phil Ivey when we were doing the poker thing. But like it was just
okay. Look at me, Louie.
It okay. was just like I have so much regret, and I
do. You?
I mean, really? I mean, it just seemed like a night, and the hit was like really quick. Like I could have just been tired. I was tired for the hit, regardless. So like, I'm just
now. Let me ask you this: when Joey came back to the room, was Darius Rucker with him singing "I Only Want to Be with You"?
Wow, that's a visual. No, he wasn't.
Okay, I gotta ask. I'm a journalist. Okay, that was pretty good. That was not a bad pearl.
We got there Monday night, and the game was Tuesday night. And Tuesday, all during the day, we were running around doing a bunch of content. There's actually a story on at the Venetian too. I don't know if I'm ready to tell that story though. Maybe I'll tell it in a few weeks. Let's let the like we went on the
right,
and yeah,
I've done that.
There's just a story involved with like when we went to go shoot that. So, but okay. I think I'm gonna let that one sit for a little bit before we
keep it for the Greg Cody show.
I don't know. I could see it creeping its way on air at the Levitard show at some point, but we'll see. I'll try.
Okay.
By the way, I'm only working like a few days. Like this is we got a long weekend here. We got a vacation coming up, a cruise. By the way, I don't know if we're gonna be doing. Are we doing another crepisode, a cruise episode? Somebody at the watch party singled that episode out as like his favorite episode ever.
Yes, that's true.
Really?
Yeah, who was that? I can't remember.
That was our friend John, who worked for an NHL show.
Right.
Who like
super fan.
Who like went there, who went near the arena like hours before he needed to because he was like, I got to see these guys.
Yeah.
Awesome dude, really nice. He's like, that cruise episode was the best. And I was like, you know what? Funny you mention it. We're going on a cruise in a couple weeks.
So yeah, we are.
We'll probably do something. We'll probably at least... Who knows if it'll be like a full episode, but like we'll definitely have some snippets from our cruise.
I'm prepared to make whatever episodes happen.
We'll figure it out. We're going to be sending some stuff.
I feel like we will.
Record a little episode ahead of time and then like toss to here's all the content we do on the ship and then you'll get it.
Yeah. Right. We can't go on an Alaskan cruise though and not convey that somehow on the podcast because, you know, if I'm listening to a podcast and they're in, you know, Bolivia. I want to hear about Bolivia.
You want to hear a podcast where they're like, so here we are. We are in Bolivia. It is.
Exactly right.
It's un-Bolivia.
It is. It's un-Bolivia.
It's good.
Thank you.
We actually did get a voicemail from a listener that might be featured in an upcoming Greg's Mail Sack episode from Sao Paulo, Brazil.
So nice.
There you go.
I can't wait to get back into Greg's Mail Sack.
Haven't seen Greg's sack in a while.
Nope. I'm going to wash my mail sack just in anticipation of that.
What?
In anticipation of that is what I meant to say.
All right. Where were we?
Maybe it's time for a break.
Yeah. Anytime we peter out, it's always good.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real cream!
Hey, cool cats. Tired of suffering from prolonged virginity? Want to attract the kittens like a fancy lad? Well, a little dab will do you, and two will do you double. Brill Cream. Guys, put your hands on your tube and squeeze. Brill Cream. Dabbing it.
Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Brill Cream, what's the matter to you? Fancy lad must always look so debonair. Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Brill Cream, what's the matter to you? All the ladies love a lad with Brill Cream.
All right, and we're back. Dad, I think it's your turn this week to handle the Sheets and Giggles ad, so take it away.
No, let's not do that.
I'm just calling you out because right okay. Before you're like, so Yeti, Chris, you guys going to handle this? So
thank you. Although I like it. S&G, come on.
What a pitch man my dad is. Like, it's no surprise that, you know, ever since Sheets and Giggles has joined us, their stock is raised through the roof, even though they're not, I don't think they're public. But anyways.
Okay, if they were.
Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, guys. Have I told you enough it's a game changer? Colin loves that phrase that I've kind of coined, and it really is a game changer. The best sheets you've ever had, the best pillow. I almost wanted to focus on the pillow today because the pillow, you don't have to flip it. I've never had a pillow before that you don't have to flip. This pillow stays cool throughout the whole night. It's perfect. It's like my head's in a little cocoon. It's just like, hey, this is yours and you're mine and I love you. And you don't have to flip me. I'm going to be here right by your side all night. And it's delightful. Promo code NICEHAT, sheetsgiggles.com/Greg.
You know, I had a dream last night that my wife left me and I woke up and it felt real and I was really sad.
And you were like, I still have Sheets and Giggles.
You know what? You know where my head wasn't? It wasn't on my Sheets and Giggles pillow. It was beside me instead. And I can only imagine, like, you know.
Which head? I thought you were going to go with the joke of, hey, my wife left me last night, but I still was like, I was all comforted
by the pillow.
You're like,
if I was resting my giant skull on my wonderful Sheets and Giggles pillow, I guarantee I would not have had that dream. We would have had better dreams instead. Yep. Maybe like the one she's had of me where I'm having an affair with Charlize Theron, but that's a story for another time.
All right, Dad, now it's your turn for improv. give us your Sheets and Giggles improv.
Shimprov.
I you know what? Sheets and Giggles, it's the best. I sleep on it every night. I sleep like a baby. I cry all night. No, I'm just kidding. I sleep like a baby, the good baby. Sleeps through the night.
You're so happy that you're just like,
right. Tears of joy. No, it's the best product going. I mean, it's just perfect.
And what's the website?
I don't know. You say it.
Dad,
sheetsandgiggles.com. I don't know.
It's sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Okay. Promo code?
Greg.
Dad.
No!
Wow, this is epic.
Promo code what?
Nice hat.
Nice hat. I love those nice hats. They're flying off the shelves.
You know how
we don't even have shelves. They're flying off them.
You know how we just talked about listening better in the show?
Yeah. You're right. All right. Speaking of listening, you know what I've been hearing lately out of Mike Ryan? Oh, poor me. I'm so sad. I want to quit the show. Christopher, I rarely ask you about the inner machinations of the Levitard show, but I just have to say when Mike Ryan is whining, I'm enjoying the show less and less. What does that mean? Because let me tell you something. I'm on the show. I get the show. But sometimes when something like this happens, I honestly don't know because Mike can be a little mercurial. I don't know whether he's genuinely upset, whether this is a gimmick. What can you tell us?
I can tell you that I also sometimes don't know where the bit stops. You know, like all of us, some people have bad days. And, you know, overall, I never get the sense that Mike isn't happy doing the show, but he says, you know, I kind of believe him when he says that it recently hasn't been that fun for him. As Dad, your forearm's bleeding.
I was just noticed that.
But other than that, like, you know, we all have bad days.
Right. Because the
bays,
we all have bad bays.
The David Samson thing. Is to me is not a bit. Like I think he's genuinely upset about some stuff, but we won't go there.
You mean Samson's genuinely upset?
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you know more than I guess. I don't know.
I saw a video of Shaquille O'Neal in a Home Depot surprising a couple of random customers and buying them a washer and dryer, just out of the blue, surprising them. Hey, I want to buy you this. They were, as you would expect, they were just so grateful, taking selfies. He had a photographer with him, obviously, because it became like a big video thing. And I've always thought that the power of celebrity when it comes to somebody as big as Shaq, literally and figuratively, is that you can do stuff like that and really just make people's days, make people's lives. But when you put it on video, though, is it still a sweet gesture or does it become, look at me, Louie? I go back and forth on that.
There's examples of this with celebrities and non-celebrities. There are people who have like crazy TikTok accounts, and what their thing is, they go around and they give like $500 to people out of nowhere. They pay for people's groceries. They buy them dinners. They walk up to people. You know, there's a guy that cuts people's lawns that have like these overgrown lawns, and it's like, I'll do it for free. Right. He tells them, he goes, I'll videotape it and put it online for free. It's just a whole industry now of there's a guy that goes around and gives haircuts for free, and he's got a viral YouTube page. So it's like almost any industry and everything, there's somebody out there doing it for free on social media. I don't know why Shaq needs to do that, because I was just reading this article the other day about what a great businessman Shaq is.
Yeah.
And that how many companies he's owns and what his worth is and how he doesn't spend, blah, blah, blah. And it's wild, the internet these days with giving away things for free, but it's like I'm benefiting from it.
Sure.
It's an interesting balance, because there is the adage that, you know, don't, you know, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth, you know, when it comes to charity and things like that. But like you said,
I don't know what that is.
Okay, I think it's out of the Bible. There's a certain degree to that. Like, yeah, I'm on board with that mindset. But at the same time, one, it's not my place to judge, you know, but you can do a lot of good by using your platform. And that's the thing. I doubt that's he's showing the only times he goes out.
Right.
There's probably several. And I think I've heard Shaq talk about this, being questioned about it, is that that's something he'll do with or without cameras. But sometimes right. using a camera can inspire other people who have resources to do the same thing. And that's cool. If you can spread some good that way, why not?
Yeah. Was that sponsored by Home Depot?
I'm not sure. I saw it on an NBA affiliated website, and I don't think it was sponsored by Home Depot, but obviously you saw the orange, uniforms, and you know, obviously it was at Home Depot.
I can't remember who said it, but I've heard Dan repeat this a few times. Someone has once stated that if LeBron James really wanted to put his resources into solving world hunger, he has the influence that he could probably do that.
John Amici is the one that said that.
And so like, I think there is something to be said about putting your good works on display, at least to an extent.
Right.
I think if we found out that's the only time you do it is when you can get praise, or, you know, but then again, who am I to judge that? You know, if you're doing good, let it be for good. And if it inspires others to do that, awesome. Let's rock and roll.
What could we do as a show that would be similar to that? Let's just go to like, let's show up at Home Depot and just start doing a podcast for people, just, like the three of us. Like, we'll just walk up to like a random person in an aisle and we'll just like start hit the imaging, and like, you'll just be like, welcome to the Greg Cody Show.
Well, that'd be
like,
great. We would be kicked out of that Home Depot so fast.
What's the cheapest thing we could go around and like buy for people? That's like the, cause like we can't afford what Shaq can afford. So it's like somebody's like at a gas station and it's like, I got this can of Coca-Cola and M&Ms. Like, this is on me.
Right.
You have a good day.
I think it comes down to what are you able to do? They like to get biblical again. There's the story of the widow's mites. The lady that she gave mites are like pennies to us. Yeah. And she had two, and that was all she had. And she gave them all.
I don't know that story either.
But yeah, but it, so like you can just do cool things. You don't have to do earth shattering things for people. You, at the gas station, you could, hey, look, this tank of gas is on me. Or sometimes just as something as simple as this Coke. Hey, I've got this for, as they're in the checkout line. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's a little bit way to pay it forward. You can make somebody's day with that. It might not change their life, but it might change their day. And that's cool. That's cool too.
The other day I was at McDonald's and I was like, the person, I was like, how much is the thing that behind me? And they were like $48.79. I was like, all right, have a good day.
Just wanted to know.
Yeah. I run experiments, and it's just like, this is one of these weird.
That's funny, because you do hear that a lot in the line, in the drive-through line. You know, let me pay for the guy in back of me as long as it's under $5.
I've never had that done for me.
I haven't either.
Jane and I were at a restaurant one time, and don't know why, we went out, and they're like, hey, your check's been taken care of.
Wow.
The thing that I've done, I've probably done this a half a dozen times, is if someone in front of me at like a gas station, at like a restaurant, that it's like they all of a sudden are like in a panic and like don't have something, I'm very quick. What is this? Is it just this? I got this. Don't worry about this. Go. Like I, and then like, right. I'll pay for their $21 like drink and gas, and like just be like,
yes, yeah. It's little things that we can do to just, you know, and it doesn't always have to be financial. Sometimes it's just time, even taking 5 minutes to talk to somebody. Let somebody hear you out. There's a lot of ways where we can make positive impacts on the people around us. And byproduct, it feels good for us too.
Let's all try to be Shaq. That's the moral of the story.
He seems to be someone who gets just a big kick out of it too. Like, it makes his day to be able to make somebody else's day.
Right.
And if that brings you joy, why not? Do things that bring you joy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeti, I want to ask you about Ken Jennings. And this came up in a group chat because we were talking about the Jeopardy host. And I was astonished to learn from you that you have crossed paths with Ken Jennings in a way that interested me, because it's like, what?
Seriously? Let me jump in first. When I saw this group text, and I know you guys, I had a banner week. Let me just say Vegas. All right. Get off my back. But I did notice, I saw that text, and I remember thinking when I read it the first time, I thought my dad wrote it. And I was like, my dad had something with Ken Jennings. This is going to be amazing.
Sex. It was sex with Ken.
And then
Jennings.
I was like, Oh, it's Yeti. It's still going to be funny, but I was hoping for a split second that whatever Yeti's about to say was with my dad, because that would, then we had another Kornheiser thing on our hands.
Okay. Apparently, Ken Jennings is the guy who now hosts Jeopardy, which I didn't even know.
That most people know who Ken Jennings is.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
He's one of the hosts of Jeopardy. Yeah.
All right, tell us your Ken Jennings story.
But he started as an all-time great performer. Like, he's now a host since they've been looking for a host. But he made name as, like, one of their best champions ever.
He won, it was either 75 or 76 in a row on Jeopardy. And so he played it. He was on Le Batard Show this week promoting his new book. And he played it a little off because they were like, you know what? Because he was just playing along with the questioning, you know, how bad do you kick yourself for the question that you missed that made you break the streak or whatever? If I remember right, at the time, he was saying, basically, he let it go on purpose. It was at whatever number Bonds' home run record for the season was at. He timed it out with that, you know, just to be nerdy and fun that way. I could be wrong, but if I remember right, I feel like he said something about it at the time. And now he's one of the hosts of Jeopardy, him and Mayim Blalock, who played Blossom. But anyway, I was at a Wilco concert in 2007 out in Seattle at Marymore Park. And I don't know if I want to tell the whole story, because I really want to get him on the show and have this story with him. But my friend was like, I think that's the guy from Jeopardy. I'm like, Ken Jennings? She said, yeah. He was like 10 feet from us, just sitting on the ground waiting for the show to start, because we were further back at the time, because nothing was going on. It's a big outdoor amphitheater. And he...
No idea what it looks like.
You don't.
Yeah. And I looked, I was like, yeah, that's him. I'm pretty sure that's him. So I walked up to him, and instead of saying, hey, Ken, I'm Greg, I walked up to him and I'm like, are you him?
Oh, God.
Because I didn't know what to say. I was so weird.
That's creepy.
And he goes, am I who? And we proceeded. And so, yeah, we had like a 10-minute conversation, and it was fun.
I thought maybe that was like an answer for one of his Jeopardy questions. And like, that was like a deep cut. Are you him?
Right. What is am I whom?
Who is this man sitting on the ground next to me at a Wilco concert? Boop, boop, boop. Who is Ken Jennings? No, but
I don't know if that connection's going to land us Ken Jennings, but we should go after him.
I just think we should go after him. He's promoting his book. That's why we should go after him.
I would talk to him.
Yeah, that's yeah. But like, the real thing is, I owe him an apology, and I'm not going to say why yet, because I want to get him on the show.
It's more than just are you him?
Yes. Okay. We had a conversation, and immediately after I broke away from him, I felt terrible about part of that interaction, and I've carried it with me for, we're pushing 16 years now, and I'd like to apologize to him.
Wow.
I'd like Tua to win a Super Bowl. You just said I'd like Tua. So I just
I'd like Tua. That's right. You are correct. I did say I'd like Tua.
All right. Anyway. I have three more things we need to get to. Number one, we have to get to the dad jokes because we didn't get to them last week. The anticipation has been building. Okay. I'm not saying we don't have to do three facts, Jack, unless you want, but I do have them both. And they're shorter than usual. Should I do both of those? Because then we have two other things we need to get to before
Zaslow's actually here for this week for the dad jokes. Like we wanted to do it last week at the watch along. He's like, that's right. Yeah, so I'm here. What's up, awesome. Greg Cody? Okay. I'm awesome to be here.
Okay.
This segment? It's a good segment.
Okay.
Go ahead. Thank let me you. Hear.
Number three, what is a math teacher's favorite dessert? Dead air.
I don't know.
Pie. 3.14.
That's not funny. Yeah. That's not funny.
Ratio of a circle circumference to its diameter. Number two, how do you arrest a pig? Dead air. Put him in handcuffs.
Handcuffs? I was going to say, do you cuff its oinkles?
These jokes are just like your columns, Cody. They're just predictable. God, number one, it's just stupid.
Number one, what do you call male siblings who love math?
Whatever.
Algebros.
That's dumb, Greg.
That's decent, but all terrible. Just waste of time.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That segment? No,
they're pretty
awesome.
Good. Do we want three facts, Jack, or no?
All right, I'm leaving. That was Zaslow. He's gone.
All right. No, I'm just saying. Do we want three facts,
Jack? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Dad, it's your podcast.
Okay, but don't leave because we have a couple of other things we need to get to.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
I'm not going anywhere. Zaslow left.
Okay. All right. Three facts, Jack. Number three, human taste buds are microscopic organs with cells that die off quickly. They age and lose sensitivity fast, which is why the body regenerates them every 2 weeks or so. Taste buds are not all replaced at once, though. On any given day, about 10% of our taste bud sensors die, while another 20 to 30% are in the process of developing. That means most days, humans have full access to only about 2/3 of their taste buds. Number two.
Or more if they develop quickly.
Well, we're generalizing here. Number two. I want to turn number two into a little bit of a quiz. There are only six foods that never expire. You each get one guess, and if you get it right, you can continue. Who wants to start?
Never expire?
There are six foods that never expire. Take a guess. If you're wrong, I'll go zzz.
My first thought was olive oil.
It can go rancid. Olive oil can go rancid. Twinkies.
Okay.
McDonald's hamburger.
I'm going to give you the six foods.
Spam.
Honey.
Huh?
White rice. You're right about. Salt. Sugar. Vanilla extract. And vinegar.
Those are all ingredients except for honey and vinegar, maybe.
Honey, and I use honey as an ingredient more than anything.
If you ingest them... If you ingest them, they are foods. Number one, in the year 2000, Blockbuster had the chance to buy an up-and-coming young DVD rental company for only $50 million.
Netflix, yeah. I've read this article.
Okay, you ruined it. Okay, so we're done. Way to go. You ruined a three facts, Jack.
Or did I make it great?
No, you really didn't.
There are three things. So sit right back for three facts, Jack.
Dad, you said it was a quiz.
Sad.
You no, said it quiz, was a quiz.
No, no. The quiz was the six foods that don't expire.
I thought
the quiz
said
was
quiz.
Not
you,
number
I think
one.
You said the remaining two are quizzes. No.
All right, you ruined it. Okay, before we get to the final thing I want to talk about, Christopher, do we have to do a Heat Panthers wrap up? Should we, like, are we obliged to just do 30 seconds on that or no?
I feel like we did 2.5 months of this. Was a lot of fun.
I know, you're right.
Like,
you're
I think, right. Like, yeah, like we can do one more 30-second loop where we both talk about how much fun it was and how cool and, you know, how similar they were and how historic they would have been if they won, even though they both took farts in the finals.
They took farts in the finals.
Well, let's not do that.
Okay, let's not do that. I want to talk, before we go on the way out, you guys both have daughters. And you were talking about life situations where, and your daughters are different ages, but they're both starting to ask questions that test parenthood a little bit. And I want to get into that because I remember Graceland, maybe, you know, 6 months ago or something, in our kitchen, saw Jumpin' Charlie with, you know, the red rocket going on. Jumpin' Charlie had the red rocket. And she said, "What is that?" And I said, "That's his pee-pee. That's what he goes pee-pee with." Oh, it's the first thing that came to my mind.
That's why she calls it that.
Okay, so anyway.
No, she came up to me the other day, and she, like, misspoke. Like, she, I think she heard it somewhere on, like, I don't know who, but she was just like, "Daddy, you have a peanuts." And she, I was like, I thought she was like, "Are you telling me I have like a bag of peanuts here?" And then she was just like, "No, down there in your privates, it's a peanuts." And I'm like, "Go talk to your mother." I was just I was like, "Go tell your mom what you just said." Like, I don't know. Like, that was the first time that she's like kind of addressed that. And I was just like, "Oh no."
Peanuts. That's hilarious.
I was like, because Christy told her the Chris Whittingham, she was like, she hit him with the Chris Whittingham of like, "Let's just say it like that."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, my dad, I was like, or pee-pee works. Like, you know, he's like, I feel like that's the play, right? Just be honest and talk to them, right? Like,
right.
No, but what's weird is we are pretty open with our kids. And because I do not want them Googling. That's the big thing. Be open with them so they don't search the internet, because that's going to be
So they're always coming to you, right?
It would have been so bad for me. It was bad enough without the internet. It would have been so bad for me if we had the internet when I started.
I don't know how I like,
because my parents, that stuff. We didn't talk. I didn't feel like I could. My parents never said don't talk about it or don't ask us. I just never felt like I could. So we want our kids to feel like they can approach us.
I don't even remember like how I learned all that stuff. Like, I have no recollection of like what I did to like did I, was it friends at school? I'm sure it's like kids, right? It's probably like,
it's a mix. Yeah,
right.
That's where you probably get it first, and then you're like, "Mom, what is this? What are they talking about?"
Yeah, because you didn't have any older siblings to kind of like, you know, you know, like let you in on things gently. It's all the you're at the wolves at school. That was me too. So Penny, Penny started it, like, this is surprising because we talk about a lot. We've talked about the birds and the bees. She knows what sex is. We've explained what sex is.
How old is she?
Knows it. Penny is 12 now, but we've been talking about it since, and probably for the last 2 years, I think, is when we first kind of gave her the general idea, because she started asking questions. But it's funny how much she still doesn't like understand about like basic anatomy. And she was asking me the other day, she said, "Are nuts the same thing as testicles?" And so I had to have that, you know, had to talk about that for a minute, told her then she said, "Do you pee from your nuts?" And I was like, no, we, you know, so I explained the urethra or whatever. She's like, "What does the penis look like?" And I was like, "We're a pretty nude household, like we
I was about to say like I like that that I think that's
and I was like, "You've seen me naked." She's like, "But I don't stare." I'm like, "Thank you, one, thank you, I'm glad." But then so I was like, I didn't know how Jane wanted to approach that with her, like as far as what we show her. And I forgot Jane has some anatomy books, and ultimately that's what we used. So to be funny, what I did was I pulled up a United States map and I said, "This is Florida, America's Wang." and she said, "It's that long?" And I said, "This is Rhode Island, America's Way."
That's funny.
But ultimately, we showed her the anatomy books and stuff like that. And so, like, you know, like Jane, and she's just like, "So
that is just a better play, I think, than you just dropping trow."
Right. So, like, yes. Right. I can contemplate it. I thought there'd be better ways to go about doing
this. Very good point by you. Literally. Very good point by you. Very, you know, very impressive.
This is someone who dropped a D's nuts on me joke like 2 years ago. Of course, not having any idea what she was saying.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. No, that's, there used to be sex education classes in school.
I took
They literally were called sex education.
I took it. I remember that's where you saw like.
Right.
Like what things looked like.
They didn't. Yeah, they explained us anatomy, but they didn't explain to us sex. Like, I heard stories about a teacher breaking a banana, putting a condom on it, but we didn't have that. And these classes haven't either yet.
Okay. All right. As we talk about putting condoms on bananas, let's wrap this up. Put a condom on this episode. Wrap it up. Jesus. And we will see you guys next week, guys, gals, and everything else. And we'll see you next week. Love you. Love you all.
Brap.